Welcome to the Abundant Life Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Russ Cordle. For more information about Abundant Life Church, please visit www.abundantlifechurch.org.
1 Peter chapter 4 and 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Wow, Pastor, what a downer. Way to start that out. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And then turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and 14, a scripture many of you are very well familiar with. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. And it begins like this, and you're familiar: "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." You can be seated this morning. We focus on that scripture quite a bit. We talk about that quite a bit. And I want to talk to you this morning about we need a praying church. As I said, the train has left the station. We're on down the road. The cloud and the pillar of fire are already leading us. We're already seeing wonderful things happening in this new era, this post-COVID era. Things are moving forward. God is already moving amongst our leaders. Great job, Brother Justin, this morning. What an excellent message. What an anointing that God is putting on his life. Another great sign is as God is continuing to move on our young leaders, and we're so very proud of all of them are doing great work in the church at this time. And so we're in that new pasture, but there's some foundational things that we've got to get back to, but maybe even into a deeper level. We all know, we talk about prayer all the time. People say, I'll pray for you, we'll pray for this. I prayed about this, Pastor. If I had a nickel for every time someone recently said to me, "I fasted and prayed about this, Pastor," and so on. And so that's fine. And so we take that, and sometimes it's a colloquial term. And to the world, when you say it, they just think that's just a gesture. It's a notion. You just say that, "Well, okay, I'll pray for you." I want to tell you, just so you know, this is just a little piece here, but when someone calls me or someone texts me and says, "Pastor, there's something going on in this situation," there are many times, most times, at that exact moment, I will stop what I'm doing and I will begin to pray for that particular situation. That doesn't make me anything greater and wonderful. I learned that from our great bishop, Brother and Sister Kylie. I've learned that from my leaders coming up. That's just what you do. You take that very seriously. When someone says, "Pray for me," they sincerely are saying, "I need this prayer." It's not a colloquial notion. It's not just some sort of a nice thing we say, "I'll pray for you." No, you've got to get down and do it. And don't say you did it if you didn't do it, right? And do we really pray it? And do we really get into it and pray it? Is this a praying church? I'm telling you right now, the world needs, and we need, a praying church. A real praying church. Amen. Come on. So on this sort of pre-Valentine's Eve, I wanted to talk about something, and I don't want to go in and talk about St. Valentine and love and all that kind of stuff, but I thought, what would be a great approach? As I approached God and I talked to him, it occurred to me that prayer is the foundational element of love, foundational element of relationships, the foundational element of the church and what it's going to be capable of doing through God. Amen? Now, what we don't typically focus as much on in that 2 Chronicles chapter that we love so much, and I just want to take a step back on that for just a moment. It's powerful words, and we've talked about this before. We've preached it. You've heard messages before. But each segment of that passage of Scripture is so powerful. If my people, immediately God recognizes and shows an ownership. You are my people. Well, what does that ownership entail to you? What does it say to you? It says, you're his child. You're his precious gem. You're his priesthood. You're my people. So that tells me that God's going to do something powerful. God means something great for you. You're not just some bauble in a drawer somewhere in God's kingdom. You're his precious child. You're my people. He says, which are called by my name. And if we are truly his people, we are called by his name. His name was called when we entered the waters of baptism. And the things that we do, the Bible says, whatsoever you do in my name. So my people who are called by my name, if you humble yourselves and pray and seek my face. Boy, that humble yourselves part is tough. Come on, the three big ones, right? The three big issues, the source of all our failings, the source of all of our challenge, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, right? We've got to humble ourselves in these events. When someone calls and texts you and says, pray for me, humble yourself in that situation. Your thing that you're doing is not as important as that request. Not to mention the humbling of ourselves, like Brother Justin, excellent, again, message today. Leading into that time of prayer, that life of prayer, that life that he was talking about, humbling ourselves, so critically important. But it says, and pray, and do what? And seek my face. Like a child. Those of you with children would understand, when you're busy about the things that you're doing of your day, right? God's got a whole world to look out for, right? And that little kid will come up to his mom or dad, pull on the pant leg, and go, mom, 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 mom. 1,000,000,000 times they'll say that, until what? Until mom turns her face to that child, and that child now knows that they've got contact, that they've got mom's attention. We've got to seek his face just like that. You know what it tells me? It tells me that we've got to humble ourselves and pray and pray and pray and pray and get good at praying and get efficient at praying and get proficient at praying and get professional at praying, because we've got to seek him until we know that we have his face. And amazing things will happen. And according to this scripture, he says, then turn from your wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive your sin and heal your land. Right? So we're well versed in that piece of scripture. I love it. Some of their favorite scripture. But look on as we go past that. This is the Lord speaking now. In that next verse in 15, he says, now mine eyes shall be open. Wow. He's looking. And my ears attent unto the prayer that is made, where? In this place. In verse 16, he says, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house. Come on, he's talking about his temple, his holy place, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. This church has taken a great leap forward. The train has left the station. God's eyes are upon us. We've made our journey. We're beginning to take the next steps. And God says that if you do these things, if you learn how to be a praying church, a real praying church, mine eyes will be open to you. My ears will be attent to you. My whole heart will be where you are in this place. Forsake not assembling yourselves as such is the manner of some. Come on. Prayer. So powerful. It is the foundation, I said, of love between us and God. It's that devoted, dedicated communication with God that establishes and builds our love for him. He died for us to show his love. We've got to live for him to show ours. How do we do that? So prayer is that lifeblood of our relationship with God. But here's the challenge. We don't know how, right? Come on, and I'm not asking for, I'll just do this disclaimer. At no portion of this message will I ask anyone to raise their hands. Or Olaf said, I know, it's me. But come on, if we're really honest with ourselves, let's look over the last year or so. If I asked everybody in the room that prays at least 1 hour per day dedicated to stand on that side of the church and the rest of us over here, all of us including me, would walk to this side of the church, more than likely. Now, there may be a couple of gems in there that do that type of thing, do prayer walks and things like that. But what I'm saying is that there's elements to prayer that we've got to get good at, and one of them is just knowing how to do it, what to say. And there's models in Scripture. Of course, we know there's the model of praying the armor of God. We should do that every day. We should get up in the morning. The first thing that we do, the first thing that happens when we open our eyes, you've heard me say this before. I've challenged our young people last year, every day, when your eyes wake up, say something to God. Bring him into your life the very moment you become awake. Because here's the deal. The enemy, the devil, is standing over 100%, 24 hours hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He doesn't take vacations. He doesn't step out for a while. He doesn't rest. He's waiting for the opportunity to try to operate in your life. In the moment you become conscious, when you wake up in the morning, God be with me this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the breath in my lungs. Thank you, God, for what you're going to use me for today. Amen. We've got to know how, and so it takes some effort. It takes some practice. It takes some understanding of having a concerted time of prayer. But I'm telling you, we've got to get there. Do you know that prayer early in the morning is a biblical principle? When Jacob was wrestling with the angel in the wilderness, do you remember that? Do you remember what the angel said to him? He said, you got to let me go because of the hour of the morning is coming and I got to go. You know why? Because the angels were carrying the prayers of the people and the ministry of God up and down that ladder that Jacob saw. Early in the morning, that's when they operate. That's when the power of the prayers rises up with the angels and the ministers of God as we pray. Now, you can pray, of course, all day long. You can pray 24 hours a day. God's going to hear you. But there's something powerful about the prayers of the early morning time. As Christians, if we're walking out to the, folks, gosh, if you're walking out the front door and you're heading to your job or heading to wherever you go in the morning or whatever you do and you haven't spoken to the Lord, holy mackerel, have you put a target on your back? You've got to understand that the power of prayer is so incredibly important and a covering for us in what you're going to be able to accomplish throughout the course of the day. Have you got his eyes open? Has he turned his face to you yet? Seek his face. Get his attention. Make sure that his eyes are open to you. Because as Justin was talking about, that sin temptation will come in. The enemy is there. He's wanting to use it. He's wanting to get after you. He's wanting to stumble you out through the course of your day. Bad things to happen, right? Let's look at Psalm chapter 145 and 18. Here's the Lord's response. He says in 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him and to all that call upon him in truth. Proverbs 15 and 29 tells us that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Those are wonderful promises. We know he hears our prayer. How many of you said, Pastor, I prayed about this. I pray and I pray and I pray. And number one, he never hears me. I don't ever see anything happen. And number two, I feel stupid because I just keep asking for the same thing over and over again. Remember, I didn't say it. Nobody raised your hand. But here's the thing. There's a structure and an order in God's world in every aspect of what God does. There's structure and order in the marriage. There's structure and order in the construct of the church. There's structure and order in how we do business and how we interact with one another. God is a God of order and structure. And so therefore, it stands to reason that there's a structure and an order that should be applied to our prayer lives. And if we're just winging it and just throwing it out there, I 5 minutes in the shower and I talk to the Lord and say, thank you, God, for today, and God, give me a great deal at my sale today, or God, do this for me, or can you, or whatever the thing is, right? We're guilty of, all of us are guilty of that, come on, right? But sometimes we're just winging it and we haven't become professionals at prayer. How many in this room would agree with me and should say that an apostolic should be a professional at prayer? Is that fair? I got one clap. We should be professional at prayer. And if we're walking out of the door and we're just kind of winging it in the morning, we haven't prepared ourselves and we haven't done it under structure and order, it's going to be challenging and weak and faulty. Now, I'm not saying that our growth in this area is abhorrent to God. I'm not saying that God says, oh, wow, you're just really a mess in prayer, so I'm never answering anything. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying in order to become more powerful, in order to go to that next place as a church, in order to powerfully impact these communities that surround us that we talk about, in order to become victorious like we've never before, if we as a concerted effort, as a body, as a church, we become a praying church in the order that God has designed, there is nothing that can stop us. There's a lot of ways to pray in Scripture. There's a lot of models. You know, you can, our Father who art in heaven. That's a very powerful Scripture. Jesus said, when you pray. Now, he didn't mean sit there and sit down with your Bible every morning and say, our Father who art in heaven. There's a model there, right? just like there was a model in 2 Chronicles 7. There's a model in praying the armor of God. There's models, the tabernacle prayer, one of the most powerful methods that you can learn to build into the structure and order of your daily prayer is to learn the steps of the tabernacle. We've got little cards that we've had out here before. And I'm going to be teaching on this in the upcoming Pastor's Workshop in March. We're going to get into the depths of praying powerfully in the tabernacle prayer. But it's important that we have that type of order and structure, or we'll struggle through life being somewhat effective at some times, somewhat ineffective at others, and sometimes frustrated. I've prayed for this over and over, Pastor. Nothing ever happens. I'll tell you what, when things begin to happen is when you begin to get versed and practiced and well-ordered in your prayer. Now, God answers prayers. We're his children. He loves us. He knows we're growing. He knows that we're still kind of learning this stuff. So this is not a punishment thing. This isn't sort of like a curse on us that we're not that proficient yet. It's just simply to say that there's more for us to do. We need to become a praying church, a powerfully praying church in the times that we live in. Amen. If you're going to pray first and foremost, I'm just going to throw some pieces in here because we'll talk about more of this at the pastor's workshop. I'm going to get into the depth of creating order and structure in your prayer. But if there's anything that you hear me say before in the times of prayer, and I would love to see many, many more people out here on Monday nights when we have our family prayer. We have a great group of people, but it's a small group. Sometimes we hit in the 20s, and it's thrilling to me to see that. About the same size of Wednesday nights. Midweek matters. Midweek matters. Okay? But I would love to see more people here on a Monday night because that's where you get versed and that's where you get practiced. And we've had some powerful outpouring of the Holy Ghost on those Monday night prayers, and people come with sincere needs and sincere prayer requests, but they're getting filled themselves and they're rebuilding that oil in their lamp and all of those important things that we talk about that's accomplished through prayer. You understand that prayer is the voice that we can use that touches and embraces God and loves God, but at the same time, it's that powerful voice that through that prayer, God can operate and knock cancer out of somebody. You understand it's through prayer that these things happen. It's through prayer that somebody gets to a place that they're at the altar of repentance. It's through prayer that somebody gets to a place where God fills them with the Holy Ghost. It's through prayer that they make the decision to go into the waters of baptism and give their lives to God. Prayer is foundational in everything that's meaningful to God. It starts with prayer. And if you come on, like on a Monday night and you get involved in a prayer, and I'm going to leave out Brother and Sister Brown, on the Friday nights that they do opposite, they're our partners and they've got an even smaller group on Friday nights, but faithfully, every Friday night here, praying for 90 minutes at least, small groups. I know people have things to do. I know the job is busy and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm looking for a praying church. I'm looking for a church that wants to be dynamic and powerful and not only have victory in their own lives and the lives of their family members. By the way, don't bother coming on Monday night. If all of your family members are saved, don't come. If all of your neighbors and all of your friends are saved and they're serving God, don't come. If there is no illness in your family, if you have more money than you could ever spend, if everything is functioning properly in your life and your marriage is in a perfect condition, do not come on Monday night. But if some of those things are not qualifying for you, I invite you to come and be a part of a praying church and learn and practice and hear and pray and talk to God and get versed at it and hear other people pray. I'll tell you, there's some folks that come on Monday night and they get the juice and they get things going and the Spirit begins to move in here and it gets mighty powerful and it's encouraging and we walk out of here and we feel 20 feet tall. And I'm ready to face Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and so on because of that time of prayer. If you're going to pray, though, you've got to believe. As I said, Mark chapter 11 and 24, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." In Matthew 21, 22, it's similar. It says, "And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." This is such a critical, important point, and it takes practice. It's another thing that takes practice. You'll hear me say sometimes in our prayer groups and my Monday night group, I'll say, "We've got to believe." Believe it. Well, what does believing mean? Just acknowledging and saying, "I know God can do it"? No, we've got to get deeper than that. God, I believe that you can do this. See it happening in your mind. You know that belief and acknowledgement and faith is an action that happens up here? When we begin to draw pictures in our brains and we say, look, I want this person to be healed of cancer. For the love of God, see in your mind that tumor in that person's body and watch the Spirit of God wrap itself around that thing and destroy it. That's believing. There's nothing wrong with that. The battlefield of the mind is what this thing is all about. The enemy operates up here. He spends a lot of time up here, doesn't he? Well, if the devil can tromp around in there and do what he wants to do and try to convince you of things and bring you down and knock you down and tempt you to sin and all that other stuff, well, we ought to be throwing some things in our mind that fight the battle too. And it's okay to imagine in your mind the hand. God doesn't have hands. You understand that, right? He's a spirit, right? He's everywhere. But it's okay for you to imagine the hand of God embracing that loved one or embracing that situation or attacking that tumor or beating your boss to a pulp. No, I'm totally joking about that one. Just joking. It's okay to imagine it and believe. Look at Philippians 4 and 6. Talking about important components of prayer. Philippians 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing. You know what that means when it says be careful for nothing? This is true. This is on. I've studied this. Oh, I've gotten into the depth of this. When it says be careful for nothing, it's basically saying this. You're walking, when you pray and you put yourself into a place of just quiet humility and you begin to pray and talk to God, you understand you're walking into the throne room of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the guy that created it all, the Emperor of the universe. You're in his presence. When it says be careful for nothing, it's saying for Pete's sake, don't tiptoe in there. Don't walk in there and say, God, can you maybe try this out a little bit? Maybe you'll do it. Maybe you're capable, right? It's be careful for nothing. Don't be careful. Go in there and say, God, you're the Emperor of the universe. You've created everything. Lord, I believe in you. I know you can do this. And here is my request. Thank you, Lord. It says, but in everything, what is worthy of prayer in this world? Everything. Did you get that? Everything is worthy of prayer if it's important to you and if it's important to God. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, let me give you this real quick idea. Prayer is just generally communication with God. It's generally just talking to God. Supplication is when you begin to ask for things, needs, your own personal, maybe your personal family, of what the case is. Now, when you come to my pastor's workshop on prayer, thank you, Dave, we're going to get into the depths of the timing and the methodology and the way to structure your prayer. By the way, you should be writing these things down. Brother Marty, amen. Writing it down. Come on, how are you going to pray? The structure of your prayer, what you're going to pray for first. You're going to learn that there's an order to that, and there's a time for requests for you and a time for requests for other people and a time for certain types of prayers. Again, if you want to be very powerful, if you want to be effective, there's ways to do this and you can accomplish it. How many have been in that? Again, I'm not asking you. This is rhetorical now. But how many have had that place where they prayed for somebody? It was so desperate to you to see somebody healed or somebody's heart mended, something in your life you're praying for, and you just so desperately wanted it to happen and it didn't happen. And then you thought, well, I'm not gonna pray for that anymore because, well, you know, I'm not good at it, or God doesn't hear me. Come on, folks, there's a way that you get to a place where your prayers can be so effective and so powerful. And that's what I wanna get into with you if we do that workshop. So there's an order for these things. But he says, by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. This is the other component you hear me talk about all the time. This is something I've learned. It's a burden that God put on me many years ago, that when we get together, especially as a group, and we're praying for some specific needs, always, 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 at the end of that time, as we're worshiping after the prayer, then we give thanksgiving. Why? Because number one, it's an act of faith, but it's an act of contrition to God. Remember, the lepers all ran away. He healed 10 lepers. They all took off on him. One guy came back and said, thank you. The rest of them just left. I can't do that. I can't stand before God and lay all these petitions out before him. And then at the end of the thing, go, okay, time to go home. Where's Culver's? No, We take that time after every time, take that time to say, thank you, God, for the work you're about to do. Thank you, God, for what's already in place. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that's happening right now. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Come on, it's powerful and it's ineffective. With that thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says it this way. He says, as he's writing, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, asking prayers. Right? You ever got that? Okay, prayers, talking to God. Intercessions, that's praying for others. So that's supplications for others is when we intercede for others. And giving of thanks be made for all men. Now listen to what he says going forward. For kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Yes, that means we pray for Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Barack Obama or Tony Evers or whoever else is in power. Amen? We pray for the kings and the leaders in our nation, with people that are in power that make rules and make laws. He goes on to say, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You see that connection? He's talking about a powerful set of types of prayers that we should be engaging in. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks made for all men. Why? Because it's going to end up leading to their salvation. This church is moving forward. We're taking a new step, a new place, right? It's only natural. It's the progression of what we're doing. It's the progression of the work of God. We're moving forward. But becoming a praying church is going to mean the restitution of souls. It's going to mean the salvation of people that desperately need him. You see how that ties in? Why it's so important in foundation. Listen to this. This is a beautiful scripture in Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 18. This is the church in concert prayer. It's beautiful. Listen to the words in 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This was the promise given to Peter, the man who was given the keys. And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them in my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of thee. Do you understand what that gathering and that agreeing and that binding and that loosing is? It's prayer. It's the prayers of the saints in concert together, agreeing for things to happen in unity. Colossians chapter 4, 2 through 3. I have the American Standard Version up here. It simply says this, continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving, with all, praying for all of us also, that God may open unto us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. That door of the word, what he's talking about is ministering. He's talking about sharing the gospel. Does that make sense? I'm closing with you this morning with this. In a world with too many voices and too much talking, too much social media, too much commentary, too much blathering, too much of the wrong kind of hurtful, painful, and unproductive talking, we need a prayer-talking church. We need a prayer that's a prayer-shouting church. We need a prayer-believing church. We need a praying church. We need to overcome the cacophony of the garbage that the enemy spews out into this world, into every method and media that we've got available to us. That's why I said, let this house be a house of prayer. I know we're still in a transitional phase, and I take full responsibility that we've kind of slipped into a little time where this room is a place of socializing one more time, fellowshipping one more time between 9:30 and 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I get it. I love to see the fellowship of the saints. I love that after altar call, we break up. It's an hour and a half before we're closing the church down because you lovely, wonderful people love each other and are fellowshipping together and showing the unity of the church. But I want you to know that it's critically important that from 9:30 to 10 o'clock in the morning, pre-service prayer is happening inside this room. If you've got to talk, if you've got to chat, you've got to do it outside that beautiful foyer right there, because this house is going to be a house of prayer, and we're going to start these services out the right way. The world's going to continue to spew its garbage. People are going to continue to be affected by this stuff, pouring into their minds, dealing with all of this stuff. But if we're prayerful people, if we get a hold of God and we learn the greater and just the deeper parts of prayer and the deeper ways to construct and order our prayers will become effective like never before. Wouldn't it be wonderful to pray for somebody and have them go to the doctor and come back and say, yeah, come on, it's happened in here. It's happened in this room. Now I'm going to ask some hands raised this time. How many have prayed over somebody in this room for a specific need and seen that need answered by God? Come on, that's it. Amen. But we want to do it continuously and constantly. We want to rise above the cacophony of garbage from the world in the words of our prayers. We need to become a praying church. You can stand with me this morning. So where's a great place to start that at? Every Sunday morning, we open up these altars. Come down and pray. Pray about what the pastor preached. Pray about what's on your heart. Pray for something specific that you need. But come down and pray. Don't put your 2 minutes in, but get a hold of God. Well, pastor, I don't know how to pray. I run out of things to say. I feel like I'm repeating myself over and over and over again. That's okay. That's just the effect of being fairly new at it still. Well, I've been in the church for 30 years. Time to start learning. Time to start getting a hold of what it is to be effective and powerful in prayer. Amen? If there's anything on your heart this morning, if you're struggling or dealing with anything that you need God to hear, start fresh right now. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to be excellent at prayer. Intercede. Exhort. Ask, petition, supplications, but get good at prayer, because we need a praying church. We need a praying church. We need a praying church. All right. This altar is open this morning. Come and get a hold of God. Pray with him. Spend some time. If you feel led, pray with somebody next to you.
Thank you for listening to this Abundant Life Church podcast. We pray it has strengthened your relationship with God and will continue to be a light unto your pathway to heaven. If you have any questions or comments regarding this podcast, please telephone our ministerial team at 262-965-5177 or email us at info@abundantlifechurch.org.